We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
John was the most incredible person I'd ever met. Aviation was John's love and passion. He was present as a Marine and present as a dad, as a husband. It was a normal, ordinary Wednesday for us. When I was picking up my daughter from daycare, my friend that I would carpool with mentioned that there was an aircraft that went down. In an instant, you know, your life does change. And you, especially having children, have to decide, how am I going to do this? I got a message from a friend, and they said, there's this foundation called Tunnel to Towers, and they said on TV that they're going to pay for your and John's mortgage. And it just felt like a frozen moment in time that I'd never forget. I'm so grateful for that.
By giving $11 a month, you're joining us on our mission to do good. Go to T2T.org. It only takes $11 a month to make a positive impact.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back at Los Alamitos Racecourse with two great weeks of racing. Opening day is Friday, December 6th. First post is 12:30 p.m. The meet will include the Starlet for Fillies on Saturday, December 7th, and the Los Alamitos Futurity on Saturday, December 14th, plus two other stakes events for juveniles. And our on-track handicapping contest is set for Saturday, December 14th. You could win a seat to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Our daytime Thoroughbred meet opens on December 6th.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Alrighty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Sunday. Yes, 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 it is the final day of the big, long, and exciting, I think, Thanksgiving weekend of racing. We come to you on this, what is now known as Turkey Soup Sunday. And we welcome you to the show. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, and of course, the South Point Studios. On the South Point Studio Streaming Network at YouTube, at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard. We welcome you to the show, and of course, for all of our other platforms that include our radio station, our anchor station here, Sports Talk 1400 AM. They'll be giving you the Rams play-by-play game today on Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. All of our websites as well, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, iPhone, Android, and Google phone. We got you covered with the apps. The KSHP app, of course, will give you the listening off of the radio station and the YouTube app. If you put that on, you can get there and see and listen to us as well at the YouTube position on the phone. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome you to the show on this Sunday as we wrap up an exciting weekend of racing, an extended weekend of racing over the Thanksgiving holiday. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think the biggest story in the Thanksgiving weekend is the weather. It's rather cold. We're getting a deep freeze over the a lot of the country, and of course the snow and all that that went through the Midwest and East Coast. We understand that the East Coast will still be weathering some snow as well. But as far as most of the contiguous 48, just spots here and there of the snow that keeps falling. Southern California is clear, but I can tell you in Central California, they got some rain going on there. Gulf Coast looks pretty clear, except for a little coastline at Texas. Florida also looks pretty clear. And as far as New York, well, it'll be clear, but it'll be cold. Right here in Las Vegas right now, it's 44 degrees. That's cold for us. And then we're going to get up to 63 degrees. As far as it around the nation, Miami, 76. Phoenix, Arizona, 79. Los Angeles is going to be nice, 75 degrees there in L.A. And, of course, New York, 41. They're going to top out at 41. They're a lot colder right now. And, of course, Chicago will be 28 degrees and sunny. Thank goodness the sun will be shining in Chicago at 28 degrees. So we welcome you to the show here. And we have one of our regulars here in studio this morning. We want to welcome John Lindo. Johnny, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph, and belated happy Thanksgiving to you and Sean and everybody out here. And
yeah.
We've got 300,000 people going the other way on the freeway. I came out yesterday.
You were smart in coming in yesterday rather than waiting for that crowd to go out. It's something else, that's for sure. And, of course, a lot of people were celebrating here in Las Vegas. A lot of great football action, too, over the last couple of days.
Oh, it was terrific.
Crazy stuff happening in some of the games, that's for sure. And, of course, a lot of great stuff happening on the racetrack as well. Today, however, we have leftovers. A lot of leftover money that's going to be given away today. We've got, of course, mandatory payoffs at both Del Mar and at Churchill Downs. They're closing day at both of those places. And the pick six jackpots are carried over. They must be paid out today. It's a mandatory payout for the big carryovers today. So we get our leftovers today in the form of going for some big pots, John. And taking a look at both Churchill and Del Mar might be a little challenging, but it's worth it with those big pots sitting there. They've got to be given away.
Well, the weather's good at both tracks. They had a little snow on the ground at Churchill, but no turf racing today was scheduled. So 12 races on the main track, which looks like it's going to be labeled fast to start the day. And, again, they have a jackpot pick six format over there. It's a 20-cent bet. They've got to give out that pool. Somebody hit the pick six at Del Mar yesterday, so it's just a pick six handicapping contest there. But a really good card with the matriarch as a feature there.
Yeah, and Churchill Downs, of course, at a 20-cent away bet, you can do some coverage there for a small bankroll.
We're going to need to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be tough there, that's for sure. And I guess Canada, which is not part of the contiguous 48, so it's not governed by our national governing body, the federal government. But I think that what happened with all of the breakdowns, et cetera, at Woodbine, they instituted what is their version of HISA there. And now they're getting a rash of scratches at Woodbine and north of the border.
Right. They started instituting those pre-vet checks before the races. You know, if you didn't have this horse signed off by your veterinarian before they did this or that, the horses were scratched by the stewards yesterday. There were a rash of scratches yesterday. There's supposed to be a number of scratches today. So now they're adjusting their protocols a little bit more in line with what's going on in the United States. And as usual, that means a lot of horses won't be participating.
Yeah. Now they can go through the suffrages that we do here in the United States with that. But if all of this stuff produces less breakdowns, I'm kind of okay with it. However, there are some injustices that happen with them making rash decisions on some horses I think the balance should be where you have the local vet that handles the horse that is in question for either being scratched or not, have his input into it, because, you know, even people, we have, you know, infirmities that doesn't sometimes affect our performances.
You have to remember that there is no incentive for the horseman to run a horse that's going to get himself injured.
No.
Now, that's an asset that produces income for not only the owner, but for the trainer and everybody involved. They have no incentive to do that. If you run a sore horse in a claiming race, they're going to void the claim anyways.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense to do that. So the intentions of the horseman is not to run a horse that shouldn't be fit.
Right.
And so you have to keep that in mind as these protocols come into place, because there's a lot of collateral damage of horses that are just fine to run that, you know, aren't allowed to. We've seen that in California. We were one of the first to implement all these things. A number of horses have had to leave California, and they're still running all around the country, and they're making money. And it's really diluted the horse population in California.
And I know that some of the horsemen as well in Southern California that had stables there are moving to other places, or at least getting another branch of their stable with horses that they may think will not pass the jurisdiction in California, and running them in other places, as you say.
Well, part of that is now certain level of races won't fill.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a horse that is ready to run. If you can't find a spot to run them, you got to go out of town. So, like you mentioned, a lot of guys have set up footholds in different circuits. And with the purse structures being so much different and higher in some other places, it doesn't make any sense to wait 6 weeks to run a horse and hoping the race fills when you know it's going to overfill someplace else. You can get in and go.
Well, I know that one of the things that they're implementing at Woodbine, a bunch of protocols, but one of them, I don't know. I mean, it says the racing office there shall not accept entries for horses that have raced within 14 calendar days and, you know, or have received an intra-article fetlock injection within the previous 14 calendar days. So we're talking about not only the population of the horses, but limiting them. I mean, some horses, you know, are horses that love to run, and some trainers to say, look, there's a race coming up in 10 days that fit the condition of this horse. He's eating up well. He's galloping well. I'm going to run him. And they can't.
Well, when we get Jonathan Hardoon on, I'll talk about it. But I think it was Rick Dutro said when you run them, when they're good, you either run them back in 6 days or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You run them back when they're real sharp, or you give them a little time to reboot their batteries. So this eliminates one of those things where you can take. And then Jonathan Thomas ran a filly, Rashmi, at Del Mar back in a week.
Yeah.
Off an easy win, she won for fun again.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's got to be a little give and take. This can't be just a flat rule. There's got to be – the rules have to have a little breathing room, I think. And so Woodbine's going to start experiencing what they've been experiencing with HISA here around the country, and certainly in Southern California with their rules and HISA's rules as well. But we'll follow this story as it moves along, because Woodbine is almost finished anyhow. Their meet's going to come to an end soon. But they'll be looking forward to this, I'm sure, for the next season there. Sad news to report today. Trainer Ben Cecil has passed away at 56 from cancer. And to be perfectly honest with you, I didn't even know that he had a cancer problem.
You know, it was kind of under the radar. I knew he wasn't doing well, but I didn't know it was that close. He was only 56 years old. He's probably best known for training Golden Apples, who won the Philly Mare Championship in 2002.
Yep.
He started out, he was an assistant to Rodney Rash, who worked for Charlie Whittingham.
Mm-hmm.
When Rodney Rash passed away, Ben Cecil took over that operation. Lately, he's been a trainer for Paul Redham. He had a winner, I think, November 8th at Del Mar for Paul Redham, so he's been active. And, yeah, that one caught me by surprise. I was very, very sorry to hear that. Michael McCarthy, who worked for Ben Cecil, he won one of the stakes races yesterday at Del Mar. He honored Ben, mentioning him a little bit on FanDuel yesterday. But Ben was a good guy. He seemed kind of stoic. He was the nephew of Henry Cecil, the trainer in France. And,
sure.
But he was a funny guy, too.
Yeah, he was, and our sympathies and our thoughts go to his family as well. Ben Cecil gone at 56, way too early. All right, now let's get started to doing some of the racing stuff that happened, especially yesterday. We'll start out with Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs trainer Brad Cox had a heck of a day. He winds up at the end of the day winning four races and three of them with Florent Garou. He won the first race with Garou at 8:20, and then they came back in the fifth race in a maiden race for two-year-olds with Patch Adams, Brad Cox, and Florent Garou, $3.16. And all I got to say is, if you saw this race, and I'm sure Jonathan Hardoon will have a thought or two about it as well. If you saw this race, you're looking, your jaw dropped, and you thought to yourself, "Oh my, is he going to be back on the first Saturday in May?"
Well, I tell you what, Ralph, there were rumors the first time he ran that this horse is special, and he got bet off the board in his debut, and he ran like a short horse. He wasn't short yesterday. He stalked a pretty fast pace.
Yep.
And when they asked him in the lane, he found another gear. And if you watch the gallop out, he ran around the far turn. He was still going. And I don't think he's going to have any problems going around two turns. I think the buyer's speed figure for Patch Adams yesterday was in the high 90s.
Ooh.
And he had a final time of 7 furlongs, 120.77, just about a fifth of a second slower than the track record.
Yep, and they called yesterday the stars of the future at Churchill Downs, and we may have very well seen one in that maiden race there. Cox won the seventh race with Garou Disco Time, paying $3.26. So most of his horses were favored in those races. He had his fourth win in the Goldenrod for the two-year-old fillies in Good Cheer, who again was a solid winner there for Godolphin. Luis Saez aboard $3.32. She remains undefeated 4-for-4, and she gets 10 Kentucky Oaks points with that win, outrunning Quiet Side and Sturgeon Moon.
Yeah, and Godolphin had a good day again yesterday, and they are loaded with upcoming three-year-old colts with Kentucky Derby potential.
Yeah, no question about that. The Fern Creek won by Impulse Buy, Tyler Gaffleon for Rudolph Brissett at $6.54. That was a logical winner there. And then the Kentucky Jockey Club, the winner there was First Resort, Louis Saez, winning for Ian Hardy, another Godolphin winner. So Godolphin wins two of the big races for two-year-olds yesterday at Churchill. That Luis Saez's second win paid $14.66, outrunning Jonathan's Way, who just closed too late to make any impact, and Tizantastic, who finished third in that race. And it looked like there were some snow flurries as they were going into the starting gate yesterday at Churchill.
Yeah, it was a little chilly there, wasn't it?
Yeah. But First Resort wins. So Godolphin wins both the Goldenrod and the Kentucky Jockey Club. Brad Cox, four wins on the day. Ben Colebrook also had a couple of winners on the day. And that at Churchill Downs, where, of course, today is closing day and that big carryover in the pick six. Del Mar yesterday, no surprise. Phil D'Amato and Antonio Frasu won the third race. But the price of the horse, $42.40 for Frasu and Phil D'Amato on the turf at Del Mar with Senoir. And, of course, in the next race, Frasu had an eventful trip with Winds of Freedom, who won the race for Doug O'Neill. So Frasu gets back-to-back wins. This one pays $4.60. But after scratching at the gate, it's a factor in the race. Winds of Freedom, in mid-stretch, ducked out from something from the infield. Frasu almost went off. He fell over and on the side, etc. Kept riding the horse. Won the race, never got his right foot back into his irons. And, he won the race anyhow. And all I can say is Frasu was very lucky not only to win the race but stay on the horse.
Well, he had ridden that horse before, and he had never done anything kind of goofy. And he was in front, Winds of Freedom, all the way around. Looked like he was going to cruise home. And right about the 16th pole, he hung a right turn when Frasu wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
And he went off the side of that horse and left, and he got lucky. He hung on the horse's neck.
He sure did.
And he got back on top, which was a miracle. And I think Larry Como said he was holding on for the win, and he literally was holding on for the win. But
he was holding on for his life.
Yeah. Well, I told you before the show, in the interview, post-race interview with Christina Blacker, they talked about everything. And at the end, he goes, "I've got to go now. I've got to go change my pants."
I think he should. That's for sure. A great ride there. And, when a jockey and a horse does something like that, they usually lose all their action and get beat by other horses.
Right.
But this horse kept going.
Yeah, amazing.
All right. The Jimmy Durante for two-year-old fillies on the turf, won by Will Den. That was Augustine Stable's second win on the day for Jonathan Thomas and Vincent Chaminot. That horse wins that race. The favorite in the race super speed got scratched at the starting gate and really kind of left the people who had that horse in an alternate position on a horse that was favorite that probably nobody really wanted.
She's been a real handful, and she tried to sit down in the gate yesterday, and she's had gate problems before. And, you know, it looks like maybe John Sather probably is going to have to start over from square one with her and get her mind right. She's got the ability.
Javi Castellano was in town yesterday at Del Mar, won the sixth race with Brave Blend. Rich Engs, a play there on the show, down from 4-1 and paid 380 for Dan Blacker. Richie gives us the winner there, as well as a football winner later on in the day. The Seabiscuit Stakes won by My Hermano Ramon. Hector Barrios aboard for Mark Glatt, paying 24.80, outrunning Restricting and Astronomer in that Seabiscuit.
Hector Barrios on the grass. Oof, just man. Spectacular again yesterday. He parted the Red Seas, found a home. And this horse, he's really gotten good again. He was a real promising younger horse, kind of went flat for a little while, but he's back in his best form. And he was game because they were coming at him from all sides in deep stretch. A rough trip for Easter, who I liked, and I know John Hardoon liked, got stopped on the turn, and he got beat a half a length for everything.
All right, the Hollywood Derby was the ninth and final race, and the horse that got a trip in that race was Formidable Man for Umberto Rispoli and Mike McCarthy, paying $12.60, outrunning King of Gosford and Donegal Momentum, who finished third in that race. So it was a pretty good racing day overall at Del Mar.
Terrific racing day, yeah, and the weather was perfect. It's going to be nice today there, too.
And I want to thank Jerry Jackowitz for a reverse play in the eighth race. His key horse ran second, so he got the win with the reverse exact at 22.60 and the reverse trifecta also at $18.05. At Aqueduct yesterday, Eric Cancel, Manny Franco, and I believe, those two got a couple of wins apiece on the card. In the featured Calmly Stakes, the winner was Pretty Anna for Jose Lascano, riding for Chad Brown. A nice move there for Lascano, 940, outrunning Alpine Princess, the big favorite in that race, and Scalable, who finished third there. And, of course, Linda Rice checked in with a couple of winners yesterday as well. Jonathan Hardoon gave us the winner on the show in the eighth race, Lock and Key. Lane Luzzi aboard for James Ryerson, paid $13.20. Way to go, Jonathan, there. For a pick for us at Aqueduct, a winner there. Gulfstream Park yesterday in the feature races, the My Dear Girl won by My Denise. Jesus Rios paying $72.80 for Ruben Sierra. And then in the In Reality Stakes, the winner there was Rated by Merit. That was the favorite and paying $2.40. And the common denominator was the jockey, Jesus Rios, who won both stakes races, this one for Michael Yates at Gulfstream Park yesterday. Laurel Park. You had the Safely Kept won by Ronan Goddess with J.G. Torrealba aboard for Hamilton Smith, paying $13.80. And the City of Laurel Stakes won by Winterfell with Javier Toledo aboard for Brittany Russell, paying $14.20. Finally, at Woodbine, in the Princess Elizabeth, Aristella wins it for Pat Husband and Rachel Halden, paying $21.30. And Notorious Gangster wins the Coronation Futurity at Woodbine for Fraser Albee and Jose Josie Carroll, paying $22.30. So a couple of 9-1 shots winning there at Woodbine. All right, time for us to go to our first break. We've got John Lindell right here with us today. Also, Jonathan Ardoon standing by, Rich Eng as well, and Jerry Jackowitz coming in from New York. And we got your racing menu. So don't go away. We'll be right back and join the chatterbox. Chat away on the YouTube. A YouTube channel at Race Day. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted Best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back at Los Alamitos Racecourse with two great weeks of racing. Opening day is Friday, December 6th. First post is 12:30 p.m. The meet will include the Starlet for Fillies on Saturday, December 7th, and the Los Alamitos Futurity on Saturday, December 14th, plus two other stakes events for juveniles. And our on-track handicapping contest is set for Saturday, December 14th. You could win a seat to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Our daytime Thoroughbred meet opens on December 6th.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, moving right along on this Turkey Super Sunday. Let's go right to the racing menu for today, reminding you first post times are Pacific. If you're not in it, adjust to it so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here we go. We begin with Aqueduct Racetrack. The Big A in New York has nine races today at Aqueduct, and all I can tell you is it's going to be cold there, and let's take a look at what the track conditions might be. They say the track's going to be fast, but it is cold at the Aqueduct. Mostly sunny. It's going to be 36 degrees by post time there at the Big A. Nine races today, and no feature race on the card, but there's nine races today at Aqueduct. First post time is at 9:10. Gulfstream Park has 11 races today, and their Pick Six Rainbow Jackpot carryover is $57,992, and their first post time is 9:20 today at Gulfstream. Laurel Park has nine races today. Laurel Park has a first post time of 9:25. 9:25 at Laurel Park. Then we go to Churchill Downs. Closing day at Churchill Downs, which means a guaranteed mandatory payoff. So the jackpot provision is really off the Pick Six carryover. $240,017. Again, $240,017. As John told you, it's a 20-cent base bet. The money goes out the door today to the best tickets. They don't have to be six. It'll be the best tickets chopping up all the money, what's in there today and what will be bet into it today. First post time at Churchill for their final card of this meet is at 10 a.m. The feature is the Cherokee Mile. That'll be the 11th race on the card at a mile for three-year-olds and up. Scratch number two, Three Technique. The two is out of that race, and the favorite in the race, lukewarm at that, is Injunction with Edgar Morales aboard. 12 races today at Churchill. Mandatory payoffs. First post time is at 10 a.m. Woodbine has 11 races today. They'll probably have quite a few scratches there. And the first post time of 10:10 at Woodbine. Pick Six jackpot carryover at $123,451 there. And again, the first post time at Woodbine set at 10:10. Then we go to Del Mar, where the turf meets the surf for the final time of this year. This is closing day at Del Mar, which means the same thing as Churchill. Mandatory payoffs on everything. Del Mar has a carryover today, believe it or not, in that 3x3 bet. Three trifectas, a jobby, and it's got to be given away today. $9,922 in that bet if you prescribe. First post time is 12:30. Three stakes races today. The Stormy Liberal goes as the third. Five furlongs on the turf for three-year-olds and up, a field of nine. It's a wide-open event, too. The 3-1 favorite there is Unconquerable Keen with Umberto Rispoli. The Cecil B. DeMille will be the fifth race at a mile on the turf for two-year-olds, a field of nine before scratches. And Scipion is the 8-5 favorite there with Flavian Pratt. And then the big race, the $300,000 Grade 1 Matriarch at a mile on the turf for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up, with a field of 12 before scratches. And Gina Romantica is the 8-5 favorite with Jose Ortiz aboard. First post time for the nine races today at Del Mar, and a mandatory payoff on everything goes out the door at 12:30. Pleasanton Racetrack has eight races today. Their first post time is at 12:45. 12:45 Pleasanton. They have a super high five carryover of $43,366. Pick Six jackpot carryover $3,358. And then we rounded up with Los Alamitos in Southern California, whose Thoroughbred meet starts next week. Today they have eight races. First post time is 5 p.m. First two races will be mixed breed horses. Races 5, 6, 7, and 8 will be quarter horse trials for three-year-olds at 400 yards. Two mixed breed, six quarter horses, four of them trials. Eight races overall at Los Alamitos today. And their first post time at Los Al is set at 5 p.m., 5 p.m. at Los Alamitos, with a $10,000 pot already sitting in the pick six. They seed it with 10 grand. Pick six is already there with 10,000 at Los Al, 5 p.m. first post. Okay. Now let's go to Jonathan Nardoon standing by. I'll bet you he was chomping at the bit for a couple of things we were saying. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'll throw the one word out there, and you can give me a thought or two. Woodbine?
Woodbine. Well, Woodbine had problems a couple of weeks ago when they had to shut the track down to do track maintenance. I mean, you know, how do we know that these breakdowns have nothing to do with the track condition? I don't know. All of a sudden, they're implementing these new rules that are going to hurt them long-term down the road, I think.
All right. And, of course, that two-year-old that Brad Cox ran yesterday,
Patch Adams.
Yeah, that it really raised a lot of eyebrows.
Yeah, well, they liked him first time out. He ran well. Like John said, he was a little short that day. The key yesterday, according to the connections, where they took the blinkers off after, you know, for yesterday's race, and he worked well without the blinkers. They took them off, and he ran unbelievable. A few ticks off the track record. The track was very fast yesterday, you know, so, but don't take anything away from that performance. It was a wow performance.
Now, they have a Kentucky Derby future book, Paramutual future book thing going on. I think it closed. It's closing later on today, John.
I think so. I didn't look at when the deadline was. Yeah.
I think it's later on today. And you say, that, Jonathan, that as soon as this horse won, he plummeted in the future gods.
Yeah, he was 99-1. I went and looked just for fun to see what happened, and within 15 minutes, he went to 78-1, and I think now it's down to about 60-1. So if they wait another half hour, he'll be the favorite.
Well, I don't think he's going to bypass all others, but I can tell you one thing right now: he was impressive yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, I
absolutely
sure.
Thought so. Yeah, and I like to say he hasn't stretched out yet, yeah. But I don't think it's going to be a problem.
And Jonathan, thanks a lot for that $13 and change winner at Aqueduct. A nice, nice win there.
Yeah, terrific ride by Lane Luzzi, and the track worked out well for him yesterday. Turned into a closer's track. Friday was speed. It's just amazing how the track turns around here, but it does. You got to pay attention, especially early on in the card, and you make adjustments as the day goes on.
Anything at Del Mar that piqued your interest?
Yeah, Antonio Frisou riding without his stirrup, without one leg in a stirrup, and still whipping the horse. I wonder if Heisa was counting the whips, because they got to give him a little leeway there with one leg out of his stirrup. So,
well, you know, we do have kind of almost maybe a chance for the jockey standings to come down to the last race today. Frisou is not going to, right? Because he's
He's only got one mount today because he actually starts a 5-day suspension. He has a designated race in one of the stakes races, but he's two behind, so he can't win.
Okay.
Yeah, Juan Hernandez has got 16 winners. The only guy who can catch him is Umberto Rispoli with 13, so Umberto has to come up hot today and try and avoid a win or two by Hernandez.
Okay, well, we'll...
By the way, guys, what a terrific week or a week and a half for Jonathan Thomas and Vincent Chaminade.
Wow.
He had a career week in 1 week. I think they won 3 or 4 of the stake races. Really unbelievable. Yeah. And and yesterday they let a horse with both of them go off at 10-1. So people didn't quite catch on, but they really had a terrific week and a half. That's for sure.
Now, John, I understand that they've been in Southern California for a while. They just didn't ship in. These were by design. These races were on their calendar.
Yeah, he brought 20 horses out here for the Del Mar meet. He was at Santa Anita last winter, was a little bit quiet. He's staying again at Santa Anita this winter.
Uh-huh.
And with the stock he's got, he's going to have a good time. He has a lot of grass horses, and you can run on the grass at Santa Anita in the winter. So I think he's set up a foothold. And I tell you, it looks like he's in the right spot at the right time.
Not to mention a quality trainer, but the jock, he can ride too.
Yeah, I haven't heard if Chaminade is going to stay out. I hope he does.
Yeah, well, I think he
was terrific. He was terrific in Kentucky. You know, he's a low, quiet guy. He's not a loudmouth, and he rides for a lot of big outfits. And when he gets it, he rides for Shug McGahee all summer, on the out of town races at Colonial Downs, at Kentucky Downs. So he gets mounts for serious barns, and he may stick. You know, this may be the next Hector Berrios out in Southern California because he rides a turf terrific.
Now, is he? Did he come from America? Or was
he started out from France, and he was a jump jockey, where the minimum weight out there for the jump riders is 140. So he must have had to pack a lot of lead in that saddle because he makes the weight out here as a regular flat rider.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of experience going over the hurdles to begin with. So a little adversity I don't think is going to affect him too much.
Well, then he understood what Freysou was going to do.
He was probably giving him instructions,
in that race there. But it's either one of two things, a lot of lead in the salad or a lot of passing on dessert after that. That's for sure to make these weights. All right, Jonathan. Well, we wrap up the Thanksgiving week, a long week of great racing, but we have one more day to go today. We got carryovers to be given away, mandatories at both Churchill and Del Mar. You have four sheets available, Aqueduct, Churchill, and Del Mar, and Gulfstream, too, as a matter of fact, with their championship meeting there. And off of that nice $13 winner yesterday, what are we doing?
Let's go to Aqueduct. Look at the third race today. It's 6 furlongs on the main track. And the number two horse in here, Berry Funny, a four-year-old gelding claimed last time out by trainer Linda Rice. She scratched this horse yesterday. He was part of the entry, and she opted to run him today. Kendra Carmouche aboard to ride 7-2 on the morning line. Early pick 5, pick 4, pick 3 single in today's third race, number two, Berry Funny.
All right. Let's hope it isn't funny, and it's a nice solid winner. In the third race, the two, Berry Funny, the two, Carmouche aboard, third race, the two at Aqueduct. And now we'll go to Churchill.
Yeah, we're going to look at the 11th race today. This is a mile on a main track. You could scratch the number two horse in there, three technique, and a wide open, terrific betting race here. I like a price horse. If you're playing pick sixes, you need to look for some value. Number nine, Call Me Fast, the five-year-old gelding from the Joe Sharp barn ran super last time out while making his first start off the claim. Louis Sayers, who is in a zone, rides 15-1 on the morning line. Number nine, Call Me Fast, must be included on all pick six tickets in today's 11th race out of Churchill
Downs. And that is the feature race today at Churchill, the Cherokee Mile at a mile. That's a one-turn mile on the main there at Churchill. You like the nine, Call Me Fast. We hope he is, and we also hope he gets called to the winner's circle afterwards. Luis Saez aboard, 15-1, may be a little ambitious with Saez aboard. As you say, he's hot. But it'll be a good price anyhow, the nine and the 11th race. And, John, I'm assuming that Saez has wrapped up the jockey standings there at Churchill.
He's well clear, yeah. They won't catch him. He's going to be the leading rider at Churchill Downs. Definitely missed some time with that injury.
Okay, and now we'll go to Del Mar. Jonathan?
Let's look at the eighth race today. I like number four, Amanda to Wish. Six-year-old gelding from the Martin Valenzuela barn, Tiago Pereira, aboard to ride. This horse won last time out. He did get a good setup in there. But once this horse gets good, he stays good for a while. I hope he's got another race in him. 7-2 on the morning line. I like number four, A Minute to Wish, to win today's eighth race out at Del Mar.
All right, the eighth race at Del Mar. Number four is the key. Number four in the eighth race, A Minute to Wish, is Jonathan Hardoon's play. Don't forget, folks, he has full sheets for Del Mar with a mandatory payoff, for Churchill with a mandatory payoff, Oakland.
That's next week.
I'm thinking about Oakland next week, come to think of it. But you have Aqueduct and Gulfstream as well as those tracks. Four tracks today. You guys did a yeoman's job all week long. Now go have your turkey soup and shovel snow.
Thanks, Ralph. Stay safe and be well. John, great seeing you.
All right, John, good luck today.
Oakland. What I'm thinking ahead of time there.
Well, they begin next week.
I know. They start early at Oakland.
Yeah, yeah.
You think they're going to have some snow days down there this time of the year?
I don't think December there is as bad as January or February is when it gets nasty back there.
All right. Well, we'll wait for Oakland next week, but we're only going to wait until after the commercial break to go to Rich Eng, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Tunnel Stowers helps so many people. As a player of the Mets, I feel like for me, I have a responsibility to give back, especially to a cause that's authentically New York. And I just want to show appreciation for those brave men and women who really do a massive service, not just in New York, but everywhere. Hey, I'm Pete Alonso. Let's go Mets, and let's help the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Go to T2T.org for more information about how your donation can make a difference.
Thank you, buddy. There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting t2t.org.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place. Come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse, where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
And we roll on this Sunday of the thank that right at the end of the Thanksgiving. You know, we started the Thanksgiving weekend in November. It's now right. December 1st.
It's next month.
Yeah. Rich Eng, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, John. Good morning, viewers, and good morning, listeners.
Well, all I got to say, Richie, is a nice win yesterday in football, and certainly a nice win in the races as well. You gave us two picks, two winners yesterday. They had a Richter scale shaking of the ground there with Ohio State getting beat by Michigan yesterday in Ohio.
That was pretty wild during and after the game, Ralph. I don't know if you saw some of the post-game festivities, but they weren't shaking hands in the middle of the field after the game. That's a heated rivalry, and you know I spent many years in the Cincinnati area at Turfway Park, so I know how much Ohio State and Michigan hate each other. I mean, literally hate each other, and it spilled over and onto the field after the game. But what an upset. But it probably won't knock Ohio State out of the playoffs.
No.
But for Michigan, they've had a very disappointing season. This makes it at least a little sweet at the back end.
Well, I would say this about that game there. Michigan has been a long time coming for them to beat Ohio State. But I got to tell you, gentlemen, take the win and be classy about it. Take the win and celebrate and all that. But taking your flag and trying to plant it in the middle of the field in Ohio State, don't think that was the best move as far as a classy move. That's just my thought.
No, I agree with you.
Well,
go ahead.
Who did that a few years ago and started a big ruckus was Baker Mayfield when he was playing for Oklahoma. I forgot what team he was playing against, but he did the same thing for Oklahoma against the visitor, planting the flag in the center of the field.
Yeah, I don't think that was good. You just can walk around with your stomach and your chest pointed out real puffed out and enjoy it and all that, but you got to continue the class. I don't think that was a good idea to do that, but just my opinion. Anyhow, that was a great, Donnybrook though afterwards. I thought for a while that it was really going to get out of hand and that the crowd was going to start making it on the field. If that happened, Katie barred the door, but it didn't happen. Anyhow, and our UNLV Rebels. Hey, we won big last night against Nevada, so we get that trophy back here in Southern Nevada. But what a year the UNLV football team had!
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch the game, but I saw the final score. They just crushed Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw a social media post from one of the college football prognosticators who, you know, keeps track of the 12-team playoff. And they had a line, Ralph, that blew my socks off. They basically said that if UNLV can beat Boise State in the Mountain West Conference Championship, UNLV will get the last spot in the playoffs. Can you imagine that?
Oh,
if that happened?
We will go crazy here. No question about that. And, of course, they'll be in the Mountain West Championship against Boise State. We'll have to take a look at that a little bit later on. But we have the NFL today, and it's been some crazy results in the NFL from Thanksgiving Day right on through. And you have a selection for us in the pro football today.
Yeah, you know, I noticed my bank account was going up, Ralph, and I reviewed my picks from football since last Saturday when I gave out when I gave out Nebraska over Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But I've gone 7-1 this week, so I'm on a pretty good run, and hopefully some of the people have followed. If people have faded me, I'm sorry, you're not doing too well, but we'll see if we can keep it going. As far as the game for tonight, Ralph, 481-482. It's San Francisco going cross-country to play the Buffalo Bills tonight in frigid cold Buffalo, New York. Brock Purdy, I just looked it up during the commercial break, but Brock Purdy, listed as questionable, is expected to play. He had a sore right shoulder and missed last week's game, and they got the 49ers got obliterated without Purdy. Yeah. But even with Purdy back, the 49ers are still really banged up. Buffalo's playing great, and they have to keep pace with the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City to try to get as high a seed as possible.
Right.
I like Josh Allen. He just announced he's getting married to a really beautiful Hollywood actress, so he's going to be on cloud nine for this game. Buffalo minus six, Ralph.
All righty, and all I can say is if Purdy's got an aching shoulder or whatever he's got, and he gets in that frigid weather, it's going to be really aching by the time he gets out on the field. And we all remember what happened with Miami going into cold weather territory. So you got the Bills minus six over San Francisco. Now we'll parlay that horse winner to another pick in the races today.
Yeah, let's go to the very last race of the Bing Crosby meet, race nine at Del Mar, mile on the grass. I'm going to go to the rail horse, the number one, Charlie's to Blame, 9-2 in the morning line. Juan Hernandez picks up the mount from Umberto Rispoli for Peter Urton. This horse was a beaten favorite in a turf sprint last time out, but as far as going two turns, the horse is by Blame, who won the Breeders' Cup Classic and beat Zenyatta in a really famous photo finish. So I don't have any fear that this horse is going to get two turns or not for Urton and Hernandez. We'll go with the one, Charlie's to Blame at 9-2. Race nine.
All right, to close the curtain on the Bing Crosby meeting and the ninth and final race, a mile on the turf, you like the one horse, Charlie's to Blame, the one in the ninth. And don't forget, Rich Eng's got a full sheet for all of the races today at for Del Mar at the racedaylasvegas.com website. All right, thanks a lot, Rich. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Hey, thanks, Ralphie, John, and good luck, everybody.
All right, John, before we get to Jerry Jackowitz, we'll get your pick for today.
I'm going to go to
Del
Mar, race number three, the Stormy Liberal Stakes. Phil D'Amato has three horses in here, and maybe the one with the least impressive resume, number one, Sorrento Sky. This is a three-year-old facing older horses. He's a June foal, so it took him a while to catch up to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He turned the corner this summer. He's gotten a lot better now. He takes on older horses today. From the rail, he falls into a stalking trip. 5-1 on the morning line. This is the horse with the most upside. Number one, Sorrento Sky, race number three, Del Mar.
And the one, number one, Sorrento Sky, ridden by Kazuchi Kimura, who's having a solid meet there at Del Mar.
He's had a terrific meet out there. Yeah, he's riding for a lot of good barns, and he's winning races.
Yeah, he's a talented rider, that's for sure. So in the third race, the Stormy Liberal, one of the three stakes races today at Del Mar. You like the one, Sorrento Sky, the one in the third. Remember, John Lindo's Lindo Report covering all the races today at Del Mar, a suggested late pick four, and all the goody information we talk about is on one comprehensive sheet. That is the Lindo Report. It is available today for Del Mar with the mandatory payoffs out there today. And it's free of charge here, only exclusively here in the gaming capital of the world. One place you can get it, South Point Racebook, and it's free of charge to you because they love horse players. And talking about the Lindo Report, John, what's the schedule next week?
I think I will do Gulfstream Park on Thursday as we transition more tracks, and we'll do Los Alamitos, obviously, for the weekend as they open on Friday, and I'll probably add something on Saturday. I have to look at the schedules. Maybe we'll do a little Oaklawn Park since they open next week and maybe cover that late pick five.
Yeah, Oaklawn would be really good. That's a popular
Yeah, we'll try, whatever I think the horse players want to play, that's what I'll try and cover.
All right, well, because you're a horse player.
I'm going to play it anyways.
That's right. Let's go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Ralph. Good morning.
Everybody else. How's that?
Is there anybody else there? I don't know.
There's better be more people.
Hopefully
watching.
We have a listening audience. Yeah,
listening and watching.
Okay, and in the rest of the crew, sure.
Yeah. Jerry, we wrap up the big Thanksgiving weekend with today's races, and then, of course, we move on. I would imagine it's pretty cold where you're at.
Well, it's been pretty cold here in Brooklyn, surprisingly, yeah. So that's where I'm at. I'm in Brooklyn right now. So.
Well, just as long as
I'm just a stone's throw from Aqueduct.
Well, let's hope that you can get to Aqueduct without shoveling snow, that's for sure. But in any case,
there's no snow. It's just cold.
You got your power pages for Aqueduct and Del Mar today, so we'll get started with some picks.
Yeah.
By the way, thanks for the reverse play yesterday. That reverse play came in real well.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the two Del Mar plays the last 2 days, we've been talking about proposition wagers.
Yeah.
Well, we gave them out as keys and they came in, but they could have been made proposition bets as well. They very well suited for that. Just mentioning that along the way.
Okay.
Today we're going to go to the fifth race at Aqueduct, Ralph. We've got Dream Working. This is a Dutro horse and just looks overwhelming to me, but the price of 4-1 seems awfully big, but heck, anything over 3-2, and I think you're getting the best of it. I like the 8 an awful lot. Dream Working in the fifth race. I'll play the 8 over the 2.59. Small reverses here. It's all to me about the 8. Again, 3-2. It says 4-1 in the morning line, but 3-2 seems right.
Well, you think it's going to be played then? It's going to be a heavily bet in the fifth race. The 8 Dream Working, the 8 over 2.59, and reverse. Fifth race, of course, is the anchor in both the early pick five and early pick four.
I hope so.
At Aqueduct. And again, the 8 is the key over 2.59 and reverse. Don't forget to reverse, folks, because you can be a little bit wrong and still cash. All right, let's go to Del Mar.
Yeah, by the way, I have a top rated star horse in the 9th race. Turns out to be the same play Richie Yang came up with. So
we got
something there.
We got almost a Good Housekeeping handicapper seal of approval in that race then.
Well, something like that.
Okay.
Let's go to the 7th for our play. Gina Romantica. It's only 8-5, but I mean, boy, if anything looks odds on, this looks odds on to me. From the 11 post, she still has a huge advantage over these going a mile. Ortiz ships in for Chad Brown. I'll take the 11 over the 1, 3, 8, 9, and 10. Small reverses, 1, 3, 8, 9, and 10 back over the 11. But the 11 in the 7th, she looks really close to death in taxes.
All right, so the 7th race is the Matriarch, a grade 1 stakes race on the turf at a mile. And Chad Brown and Jose Ortiz come out with Gina Romantica, who is the 8-5 favorite on the morning line. That's the 11 horse. And you have link-ups of 1, 3, 8, 9, and 10. That's a big spread in there. But I do want to remind everybody that if they got your power pages, they'll notice that two of those link-up horses that you suggested underneath are both star horses in the race as well. And they're nice prices.
And big prices.
Yeah, nice prices. So the 11 over 1, 3, 8, 9, 10, and reverse the 11 in the 7th race. At Del Mar.
Just real quick on that. Number 8, Kehoe Beach is going to scratch. She won a race yesterday at Churchill Downs.
All right. So there you are.
Right.
The 8 is out. She can't. She missed her flight to get to
Never mind.
To Del Mar in time. So there you have it. Okay.
You sure she can't catch a night plane over
She's fast, but she's not that fast.
Yeah, she missed her,
missed the connection.
Flight.
It's hard. It's hard on Thanksgiving weekend.
By the way, she was a star horse, so she would have been a star horse at Churchill Downs, too.
All right, so the 11 again, 11 over 1, 3, 9 and 10, 11 over 1, 3, 9, 10 right. in the 7th. The Power Pages, Jerry J's Power Pages for all of Aqueduct, all of Del Mar, available right now at all of the this website, JerryJ'sPowerPages.com.
That is correct.
Okay. Well,
pick them up.
John, thank you so much for being in studio with us today, and hopefully you'll do this more often.
Whenever I can, I get out here and just to bother you a little bit.
All right, you got it, my man, and we love being bothered by John. Anyhow, and also by Jerry, because Jerry has one more thing to say on closing this Thanksgiving weekend of racing, and go ahead and say it, Jerry, quick.
Have a great race day.
It's Ralph Sirocco at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.